So, welcome to another Walkabout podcast, the first in a year, which itself was the first in a year. Obviously, I'm not doing too many podcasts. I actually have another one planned I've been trying to get to. I just haven't gotten to it yet. There's good reasons for that. But right now, there's a good reason for this one. And that is, it's the 16th anniversary of the beginning of the Walkabout blog. Woohoo! 16 years. Look at how far we've come. Look at how... Yeah, never mind. Anyway. I just thought I would do this to celebrate this because I don't really have anything else. I was going to do some video. I was hoping to do some video clips and some odds and ends. Just really haven't gotten the time and the clips that I really wanted in the first place. And that's going to take even more work than this. And I'm already doing this on the 27th, which is the anniversary, just about midday on the 27th. So I'm trying to actually squeeze this one out. I recorded one earlier and was listening to it and didn't really like it. So anyway, we'll take a look back through the year and see what kind of crazy, wild things happened. Not a hell of a lot. There is up and down, of course. There was some like major ups and downs. I won't say major, but some significant ones. Let's put it that way. What started off as seeing like a fairly average year and doing the fairly average things. I didn't talk about this in the blog. I didn't post anything about this. I didn't even really give hints or anything along those lines, but I did a major mistake come May. I think it was on Migratory Bird Day, in that I was out chasing some pictures. I found a bird's nest that was in the end of a kind of broken off branch, which was not very high. The problem with it was that it was only visible from out on the water surface. It was at the edge of the lake, and it was, you'd have to be a little ways out into the water to see it. Now, I've done this before. I had done this with the woodpeckers a few years ago, the woodpecker nest, that the best angle had to be well out into the water, and I would wade out there and set up the tripod and do the pictures. This one was nowhere near as far, and the lake, it has to be said, but the lake is shallow and very flat, plain-bodied. The bottom is all sand and clay. And so there's really nothing to it. It's like it's not rocky, there's not ruts, there's not all sorts of odds and ends in it. So generally, if you wade, you're okay, but there's always a risk. And this is where the risk comes in, because as I was wading out and keeping my eyes on the nest, I had the camera with the long lens, the Tamron 150 to 600 mounted to get nice close pictures of this nest. And I didn't realize as I was wading slowly and stepping out very carefully that I was actually going out onto the flat top surface of a rock rather than the bottom of the stream. And this became clear when I went off the rock on the back side of it. The drop was only, a quarter meter, I would say. It wasn't that much. So when I stepped off, it was more a stumble. And I was like, oh, no, and I twisted my body and I turned and I started, you know, kind of backpedaling, stepping, because I had turned at this point. I'd kind of gone sideways, so the direction I was traveling was kind of backwards from where I was, so I tried to keep my feet under me. The problem was, there was another rock right there, a very large one. I did not see these because the water in North Carolina, virtually all of North Carolina, is just pure sediment. It has a very high level of turbidity, so visibility is a portion of a meter. That's really it. I don't snorkel in North Carolina because it's absolute shit. You won't see anything. So I was not seeing any of these rocks, and it wouldn't have mattered if I was staring right at it. I would not have seen them. So I hit the second rock, and I went over backwards on the second rock. The hollow behind the second rock was rather deep, to the point where, as I realized I was going over and reflexively held the camera and the lens up out of the water straight up over my head, I watched it come into the water with me as I went down, which was not a good thing. Went completely submerged, got completely soaked. Thrashed my way out of the water in less than a second, I'm sure. I got up and got on my feet and got out and immediately tramped ashore, shaking the camera, shaking everything off, and I'm watching water kind of draining out of the bottom of the camera. But I was like, oh, fuck, this is bad. So I immediately went to shore, immediately pulled the batteries out of the camera, you know, very first thing, because that's the thing, is like, it's not water that's going to really affect things, it's the electricity coursing through the water going directions that it shouldn't be going. Water will affect things, but the worst part, the thing that you will fry and not be able to clean, are frying the delicate electronics in it. So I pulled the batteries right away, got on shore cursing madly, and I realized as I got on shore and I'm shaking everything off, and I'd had the camera bag slung on my back, so I had all the equipment there too, but it was closed tightly at least. So it was submerged momentarily. But I realized as I got up there that I wasn't seeing very well and that I had lost my glasses in the fall. This was bad. I put everything down, took everything out of my pockets, which included my phone, went into back where I was and into the hollow and realized how deep the hollow was, and there was like no chance I was going to find my glasses. So I quickly gathered up the cell phone, which still amazingly worked, called the girlfriend really quickly and said, "Listen, phone's liable to die really quickly. I need you to bring my spare glasses down." Because I was down at the lake by myself and had the car down there, so it's kind of like, yeah, I'm not driving back without my glasses. I can't see shit without my glasses. So this was bad. She came down with the spare glasses. Meanwhile, while I'm waiting, I am trying to dry everything out. I'm putting everything out on the sun and stuff and checking it out. I had the microphone on me. As I said, I had the cell phone on me and all this. But the big thing, the thing that I was just about physically ill over, was the camera and the long lens, because that's a fair amount of money right there. And if you go waiting with equipment, this is a risk. This is something that you kind of have to recognize may happen. And you can take precautions and you can see what you can do, but things can happen. So it's like, if you really want to keep things in good condition, don't wade with them. And don't go down rocky slopes. And don't be out when the storm may be coming and things like that. But this is also the life of a nature photographer. I thought I was taking reasonable precautions. There may be some pictures of it here, because when the water level was down lower, as it did as it came down later in the year, there was a very good view of things, but at the time, there was no view of things whatsoever. So the long and short of it is that the camera did not recover. I completely dried it out for a couple of days and put the batteries back in and checked it out, and it would seem to be perfectly operational until he actually took a picture, and then it would throw an error message. And so pretty much the Canon 7D was kaput at that point. And I ended up looking around a bit. I think I spent a couple of weeks where I was using the 30D as, you know, my backup, because it was still in perfect operational order. But I used that for a couple of weeks while I looked for another camera, replacement camera. I did think about upgrading at this time. I thought, well, you know, this is the time, and I started looking around. The major upgrade from what I was doing, from what I was using, which was a Canon 7D, the major upgrade would be the Canon 5D. However, the 5D is a very expensive professional-grade camera, which is a full-frame camera. Now, the 7D is one of the reduced frame that the digital world kind of went to many years ago, and it took them a long time to get to the full frame. Getting full frame, of course, makes things much more expensive, but it also means that you're back into using particular lenses, because the lenses that I had at that point now, at this point now, I should say, I think all but one had all been optimized for the, what they call it, but the crop factor, reduce factor, or, you know, what have you. But the smaller sensor of the standard digital cameras and most of the digital cameras at the time. So if I put a full frame camera on that, basically I'd be cutting the corners off in the picture anyway, because the lens isn't made to cover that much area. So I wasn't going to upgrade to the 5D. There was no other upgrade actually that was worth it. The 7D had come out with a 7D Mark II. The primary difference between them was that it added like a touchscreen and Wi-Fi abilities, something along those lines. Neither one of which I could give the faintest rat's ass about. I don't need a touchscreen on the back of the thing. I don't really manipulate the photos on the camera because I don't chimp that much. I only look at the camera to confirm a couple of little odds and ends. And quite frankly, the buttons work just fine for me. I would like, you know, the ability to reprogram buttons, but there's not too many that have done that. So there was no reason to go to the Mark II, but what this did mean is that because the Mark II was out, the 7D Mark I was further down in price, because why get the Mark I when you can get the Mark II and get a touchscreen? Woody, woody, woody. Anyway, that meant that I got, relatively inexpensively, a Mark I had very few shutter activations. It was practically brand new, which meant that it probably was better than the camera that I had just dunked when I bought that, because I know I bought that one used as well. I don't buy new equipment very often, as you can kind of tell. So The lens itself, actually, there was a period of a week or two when it was a little balky about things. It would do the occasional weird thing, but then it stopped, and it has been working perfectly, and it's been working fine. I can't complain about it whatsoever. And in fact, there was a small improvement because the lens mount was getting a little worn, and what that meant was that the contacts between the lens and the camera body, if the lens was torqued just a little bit too far, it would start breaking contact and doing weird things and not autofocusing and things along those lines. I had repaired this to a small degree by putting a very small piece of metal in as a stopper inside the lens mount pin, and that kind of helped. But that was completely unnecessary with the replacement 7D body because that lens mount wasn't worn at all, and so it's gone back to being a nice tight thing that I don't have to worry about. So everything's been going good. I actually got away with that one much cheaper than it could have been. I just had to replace the body, not the lens. I did have to replace my cell phone. I will say that. My little $25 smut phone. It worked initially when I was talking to the girlfriend. I think within a day, water had seeped into the microphone, and that was it. And it wouldn't, like, the microphone wouldn't work. I still actually power it up because I think I was using it with the quadcopter as the receiver for the quadcopter, for the FPV video of the quadcopter. But the microphone doesn't work, and so that had to be replaced. I think I spent $30 for my replacement smartphone. Obviously, I don't care about phones. I don't have to have things. I don't like taking pictures with them in the first place. Its capability is fine for, you know, what I do. And for the most part, if it's not capable, then I get a real camera in my hand. The rest of it is, like, there's a few apps that I use that I track things with. The upgrade was primarily new version of Android, which kind of the only way to do that is to get another phone. Fuck you, Android. The one thing that I did notice just recently in a project, many months after getting this other phone, the one thing that I noticed was that I had had a little endoscope camera, a little one of these cameras on a wire and things that you can snake into small gaps. And on the old phone, it would work for about 30 seconds, maybe less, and then freeze up. And I just thought it was a piece of shit because I hadn't paid a lot for it. And I'm like, well, okay. But just recently, I had a particular use for it. And I said, hey, you know, I don't know if I've tried this out on the new phone or not. And plugged it into the new phone, got the new software for it, things, the new app, and it worked fine. And it continued working. I'm like, oh, okay, you didn't like that version of Android, or you didn't like that hardware on the phone, one of the other. So anyway, I did not have to replace any other lenses. Anything that was in the bag, I had been under so shortly that there was a tiny little bit of water that seeped in the edge of the bag, and pretty much by the time I'd gotten up to the car after dunking myself, I'd pulled all the lenses out of the bag and didn't put them back in, and they were all drying on the hood of the car while I was waiting for the girlfriend to get there with the glasses. The remaining part of that saga is we had to meet somebody for lunch at that time. So I got home, got a quick shower, we went and met somebody for lunch, came back, grabbed the snorkel gear, and went back out to where it was to find my glasses. The snorkel gear was a complete waste of time. I thought, well, I'm only going to use it to try and find the glasses. Maybe there's enough visibility. No, there was not enough visibility. And the water was just deep enough that even if I was floating on the surface, I couldn't reach the bottom. So I had to kind of, you know, free dive. I had to be diving under the surface blind and just feeling around the bottom, which took, I don't know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I had the glasses in no time because I knew right where I fell. What I didn't think about until later was that I'd also lost my hat when I was doing that. And my hat was down there too, but I didn't think to look for it. Subsequent visits to that area, I just kind of kept my eyes open to see if it would wash up on shore, but never found it. I was down another hat. I was literally picking these things up for like $3 to $4 at flea markets, so that wasn't really an expense either. Plus, I had kind of a stack of them in the first place. The microphone, I had the shotgun microphone with me, and for a while I thought that was bad. And I finally sat down like a few weeks ago, and opened it up, cleaned everything out, got the sand out of the threads for the battery pack and stuff, put a fresh new battery in it and tried it out. Oh, it's working fine. There weren't that many electronics in it in the first place, and it had a battery in it, it was a AA battery, and the switch was off, so it was kind of like, no, I think the battery was about dead or, you know, dying anyway at that point, so when I got a fresh battery in it, it was fine. So that was very frustrating for a while. I was very pissed with myself for a while, even though I was taking the precautions. I was just like, I was out really doing something I should have been with expensive equipment, and that is the risk you take. You bet against that not happening, and sometimes that bet goes against you and you lose. So this is something that the kind of psychological aspect of it, of going, you know, what are the chances? Well, just think about what you want to do if it goes wrong and whether you want to spend that money, because sooner or later, it will go wrong. Little lesson there. Learn from my mistakes and all this. Mr. Bug thought this whole story was just the most fascinating thing that he'd ever heard. He thought it was fantastic because that's the way he is. But it is something that's like, yeah, just be really careful. When it happens to him, we'll see if he finds that as fascinating. Anyway, the other part, the other big thing, and I had had an intention of reaching 3,000 posts by late September of this year. Considering that this post should be the 2,973rd, I didn't actually make that goal, and I'm not going to make it by the end of the year either. I don't think I'm going to get 27 posts up in the next 3 days or whatever. But I had had an intention and didn't come anywhere as near it. Part of the reason for that, of course, was that we did the move, that we left the area that we had been in. Walkabout Estates is now in a new location. I have talked about this in posts. But this was a major move for us and a major upgrade. We hadn't really been doing any intention of moving. Everything was fine. It was okay. You know, the house was a little small, but not significant. And it just, you know, we kind of looked at it and saying we need to downsize and stuff. But the area we were in was beginning to go through urban blight. They were overdeveloping the area. Traffic had already gotten stupid, and it was going to get much stupider. And traffic is now, like, in certain areas that you have to go, traffic is absolutely insane. They are way behind in doing any kind of mediation for this, in widening lanes, adding more routes, and all this kind of stuff. And that's typical for, I think, most of the country, but North Carolina especially, is kind of like, the problem has to be there for at least 10 years before they go, huh, maybe we should do something about it. Let's start putting together the funds. That takes another 10 to 15 years. So, yeah. We had friends that were out in this area where we are. We are a little bit closer to the coast. We are actually on a river slash sound that connects out to the coast, to the ocean, so that there is a certain level of brackish salt water here. We're on an estuary, as they call it. And to give an idea, a manatee was just discovered in the river upriver from us, further from past us. So, yes, things will come up in here and things. However, we're not close enough to the main coast area to have increased our risk from hurricanes more than a moderate amount. We're actually in a pretty good area. We had friends in this area, and we came and we checked it out, and we're like, this is nice. This is not bad. The girlfriend was going to retire soon, so we started kind of looking at houses and seeing. And in June of this year, we came across this one. We kind of hemmed and hawed about it. It's a little expensive. It's a little big, but let's go take a look at it. On the day that we decided, I think it was June 19th. So the girlfriend had off from work, and we contacted the realtor. She didn't have anything going on, so we actually got a showing in later that day. Drove 2 hours out to make the showing and stuff, but got in, got the showing, fell in love with the house. Found it, fell in love with the property, fell in, and I'll talk about this briefly because it sounds a little bit like I'm bragging or smug or something along those lines, which I don't intend to do, but this was a great fit for us both. A little bigger than we needed. However, that means that we do have like a guest bedroom, dedicated guest bedroom. Nothing else really goes in there except the cats. Cats think it's great. So we keep a cover on the beds, on all the bedclothes. The bed can stay made up and the cats can get on the cover and they don't get hair all over everything. We have a library. We have most especially my office down here, the Walkabout Studios. I had been in a shared office in the old house and the space was just a little inadequate. It was just too crowded. Plus the fact that I'm doing things like recording and things like that. Back at that time, I had to wait for the girlfriend not to be around for a period of time when I wouldn't be interrupted. That was generally at night, but a lot of times it was while she was at work. We found this house and she retired. She just said, oh, that's it. I'm going to take a little bit of early retirement because it's time. So I have my good studio down here and it's got enough space for all the stupid little things that I do, which is, you know, the photography, the recording, the video, the 3D printers, the bookshelves, of course, the various crafts and odds and ends that I get into. So I've got space for all of that, which is fantastic. Even got my own little bathroom down here, which actually is, I didn't really think a whole lot of it. And I go, oh, this is handier than hell. So that was great. The big thing about this whole place is that it comes with a large parcel of property, which includes a pond, and we own the pond. And so this has been very, very interesting in finding out how much is there and how much is going on. So, you know, there was some thought briefly that the old place, I was leaving behind the Carolina Knolls and the odds and ends, like the eagles that were down at the lake, the same lake that I dunked myself in. But of course, it was like, well, you know, we're going to have this property with a pond. We're going to find things on the pond. And we certainly are. We moved in September, late September, October, basically. We're kind of still moving. We still got some stuff at the old place that we're still trying to clear out. I'll sidetrack for a moment because it was kind of at my insistence that we do the move ourselves rather than hiring movers, that we get some trucks, but we do the move ourselves. And I deeply regret this thing now. The thought was between the cost and the idea of how much damage typically occurs with movers and, you know, their packing abilities and all this kind of stuff, plus the prioritizing. And it was just like, no, we can do this. We can save the money. But it was like, it was stressful and it was demanding, physically demanding. I'm in my late 50s. The girlfriend is in her early 60s. This was, you know, we're not decrepit or getting worn down in any case, but it did make us realize and going, yeah, we're not spring chickens anymore either. Work all day loading or unloading the truck or something, and then the next day you get up in the morning and going, I don't want to do shit. So it was a lot. It was, and we had way too much stuff. We don't hoard, we don't collect too much stuff, but we both have too many interests, and this means that you end up with a lot of odds and ends. Plus, we pretty much felt that we were going to be in that house for the rest of our lives, and so it didn't bother us to accumulate, like, you know, all the different things needed for gardening and all the different odds and ends that were needed for 3D printing and, you know, lada, lada, lada. So when it came time to move all this stuff, we got rid of a fair amount of it, not probably anywhere near what we should have. But then again, we got into our house, which will hold it and won't look crowded and will look good with it. So yeah, fine. Back to the pond. The pond, I just recently found a beaver lodge on the property. But there are ducks that visit routinely, the herons that come by from time to time, and we got here late in the year, so things were already tapering off, and it is going to be rather curious to see what goes on in the spring. The very first thing that I discovered, we discovered, and basically we were both seeing it, is that the Carolina Knolls own the property. It is literally crawling with them. There are so many that are on the property, it's disturbing. But it does mean that it's like, well, I'm leaving things behind, but it's not like I'm abandoning that as a photo subject. I have to fight to not have too many of them up. The curious thing, the fun thing that I've discovered, back in the old place, the Knolls would disappear by like mid to late November. And it would get too cold, and you wouldn't see them again until March at the earliest. Here, there's no such thing. They just, like, the moment that it gets warm enough, the moment that it gets, like, above 10 degrees Celsius with the sun out, and they're running around on the brickwork, you know, every place where it gets warm and things like that. So there is no actual hibernation for them. They just pop up. And there's two or three that are living in the greenhouse. We broke down the old greenhouse, which was 2 meters square, and brought it with us, but we ended up buying a new one because we'd been maxing out the old one in the first place. We ended up getting a new one before the move. I was arguing against this because it just meant one more thing to move rather than just having delivered there, but the price was unbeatable, so it's like, all right, well, I guess that's worth a couple hundred dollars is worth moving it with us. So we had that up, I think, a couple of weeks after we moved here to be able to move the plants into it. Far too many plants. This might have been overkill because while we needed the space, we also transplanted many of the plants that we'd had there that weren't doing well in the soil. So 3-4 Japanese maples got transplanted, 2 gardenias, 3 butterfly bushes, some odds and ends. I think I still got some roses to place, but I think everything else. My almond tree that had actually been started at the old place. Not been started, it had started itself. It started growing out of the compost bin, out of an almond. I transplanted it into the yard. It did well. When we moved 10 years ago, I brought it with us and transplanted it into the yard there, which it was doing good, and so I had to transplant it again. That seems to be doing just fine. So we're hoping everything's good, but that does mean that it kind of reduced what was in the greenhouse, which right now are 2 key lime trees, 2 lemon trees, both of which are producing like nobody's business. They're disturbing. A potted Japanese maple, which is just it's a very low canopy, but very thick. It's really cool. And that thing, I think, is going to stay in pots, so that's there. The trumpet flowers, which can't really get that cold, so they come into the greenhouse. 2 pineapples, which we just started by cutting the top off a pineapple and sticking in the soil. They actually started growing. They're doing just fine. Avocado. I think we've got an avocado in there, and a couple of odds and ends. And 3 annuals that live in there and don't even come close to hibernating because it gets quite warm in there during the day when the sun comes out. Everything is doing fine. We're very pleased with it. It is a nice thing in spring. This should produce like plenty, plenty, plenty of subjects and photos. One thing that I have been watching, and it's in the past couple of days, this has really been driven home seeing it. Because there's been a pair of red-shouldered hawks, but most especially the female, considers this her property. In that she hunts from every peak of the house, the top of the greenhouse, the little decorative spinner, wind spinner decoration in the middle of the yard, the top of the car. She hunts from anything. And she is in the front yard, checking out the front yard, and in fact was doing it just a little before I started. But she has been out there multiple times. She's actually not too spooky with my being around as long as I'm not too close. And I even got reminded of this in yesterday afternoon. She has normally wrapped up her hunting by the afternoon and gone somewhere else. So I went out and I'm walking along the house, not really thinking anything of it until I get this quiet little squeaking, chirping noise above me and look up and find she's on the roof right above me just flying off. She was 5-6 meters away at that point, and she actually stayed put to let me get that close before she flew off. But she was chiding me as she did so, telling me, you know, I wasn't supposed to be there. So it's been fascinating. I'm not exactly sure what she's been finding. I know that she's caught several of the anoles, but she's also been out there like today hunting when there's no sunlight and it hasn't gotten warm enough. I'm almost certain she's not finding the anoles. I don't know what she is finding, but I'm going to have to sit out there and do some video. I'm going to have to just plop my butt out in the front with the tripod and just wait for her to do things, let her get used to me being there and wait for her to do things and try and get some video. So that is on the docket. Other things that have been going on blog-wise and stuff like this, you know, it's slowed down a little bit and fewer ideas, which is why I haven't been podcasting, but I am branching out into video and things. At the same time, there have been like all the holiday projects that I was doing, some of the projects to just get things built, worked on, one of which was a wood duck box because I have found wood ducks out there, and so I got to get a nest box set up where I can see it, so I can see what's happening, you know, if they do use it. My friend and I have still been working on developing the game. I've been trying to tweak the website. The new pages are not up yet. I'm waiting for a little bit more feedback. Of course, he's busy with his holiday things. Come March, we're going to be at a convention for unpublished games for game design. We will be at that and having things going on there. I'll have a little bit more information on that, but I have been trying to get the site looking a little bit better, get some more information up on the site and have it be worthwhile. I think the thing I've got to do right now is work on a form to put you on the mailing list to give you updates on what's going on with the game. So that's coming, because I know you're excited about that. Are you excited about anything that goes on in the blog? I expected / hoped, I think hoped is a better word, to have things more popular and more known, but blogs kind of dropped in popularity. And even podcasts are now, it's mostly, you know, celebrity podcasts. That's about the only ones that people listen to. Well, not me. There's a few that I listen to that are not quote-unquote celebrity ones, you know, or at least the most well-known ones or things. But at the same time, there's no advertising on this site for anything. There is no pop-ups, banners, blah, 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 blah. This is where it's straight information because this is coming out of my efforts and my pocket, things like that. Isn't that great? If you don't want ads, if you don't want anything, you should be here. You should have already known this if you're hearing this. The question is, can I get this to people that haven't heard it before? I have some work cut out for me too, because there are a couple of galleries in town that I do want to get into and get my work into. My students pretty much vanished when I came out here. The much lower population out here, much less interest, I guess, in photography, I don't know. But I also have to kind of change my methods of advertising. And I think when I get in with the galleries, I may be able to set up and do lessons directly through the galleries too. I don't know. I'm working on that. I'm trying to figure out the details. Mostly right now, it's when you're doing a gallery, it's an initial drop of quite a bit of money to get a bunch of things framed and set up that you hope to sell and use that money to put more things up, and this kind of perpetuates. And somewhere in there, you get a little bit of pocket money. I may be doing like my own framing and things because framing is an absolute rook. It's incredibly expensive to get anything framed. And it's like, fuck you guys, because it's the money comes from the print. Nobody puts an empty frame up on their wall, do they? Okay, then. So I may be working on that. I've got plenty of projects to keep me busy. My girlfriend is now getting her art room all set up and good to go. We've had to juggle a bunch of different things and to get some repairs done on the house before this could be done. But it's now good to go. She's getting there. And so she should have her art space set up and working. I have been refining this space. I still got a few boxes on the floors, but I'll get them cleaned out. So it's good. Everything's kind of good. We're quite mellow, and it wasn't that we were unhappy in the old place, and it was just like, oh, it's adequate, it's good, it's fine, but this is ideal. Cool. All right, much, much better. So anyway, hopefully you're happy for me. I know I'm back into the bragging thing again, but I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to say, cool, I didn't think I would be actually this like settled in and happy with things. I had this weird little goal in the back of my head, saying, you know, if we ever get a new place that's near water, I want to plant a cypress tree because I like bald cypress trees and I really want one there. And this was this pipe dream because we didn't even expect to move. We didn't expect to move to any place that would be near water, you know, have a pond or a stream or anything along those lines. So it was just this stupid little thing kind of in the back of my head going, oh yeah, I should do this. And you may be jumping ahead and saying, you can do that now. And it's like, there's no point. There are so many cypress trees on this property. It's disturbing. It's practically a cypress forest. In one of them appears to be the nest, perhaps for the red shoulders. Birds don't use their nests until they are laying eggs and raising their young. So I won't know until nesting season if this is actually their nest or not. I'm going to be keeping my eyes on it. The biggest issue, I think, is right now, all the cypress trees are bare. All the needles / leaves, what are they called? What are they? Are on the ground, all brown and on the ground and things. So you can see things in the trees easily. This will change in the spring when all the leaves, needles, green stuff start growing again, and they're liable to obscure this nest. So I may have to like do something drastic to be able to see this nest and keep my eyes on it somehow. I don't know, you know. Make a floating platform out in the pond where I can see it from that angle. I don't know. We're going to find out. So I'm going to be working on things and perhaps doing some ongoing sagas about different species. Did confirm just recently that there are bald eagles in the area. Wasn't really thinking there weren't, considering what the water sources are like around here. However, I hadn't seen any until a couple of weeks ago. I think it was right around Thanksgiving. I was in downtown of all places, and the thermals were good, the vultures were up wheeling around, and one of which wasn't a vulture. I'm looking at it going, wait a second. No, yeah, I see enough white. Yep, that's a bald eagle. What I have to find are the places where they frequent and feed, do their hunting and things along those lines. So we're going to see. Hopefully I haven't left that behind at the old lake, and I'll be able to do something like that. But I also have a red-shouldered hawk that's here that sits on the house, and I've got pictures up her nostrils, so I can't complain about that either. Anyway, I hope everybody has had a good holiday season and has a good new year and is doing the things that they want to do or are heading in that direction rapidly. But I thank everybody that's listening right now and that have been coming to the blog and looking at things. That's fantastic. I will attempt to keep getting content up there and I'll let you know when I hit the 3,000th post, because you got to hear that, but who knows when it is. But anyway, happy 16 here. Now it's of legal age for something. I don't know what 16 is legal age to do anymore, but it's legal age now. And other than that, I will catch up with you guys later. I will have another topical podcast or a a podcast with a real topic in it at some point soon, hopefully. Until that time, thanks again for coming. Cheers.